Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. On today's episode, I want to share with you a replay from a live that I did earlier this week with my girl, Dr. Charlotte Walker. Charlotte is an excellent Bible teacher, a great friend of mine. We pray together often, and a lot of times we have these conversations about how we feel like God's people are not equipped as they should to truly be able to test the Spirit by the Spirit, to truly be able to qualify the words that they are receiving via prophets in their life, prophets online, people in your churches, words that God may even reveal to you, or dreams that you have, or things that may be downloaded into your spirit. I believe that there's a huge biblical literacy problem. And instead of just talking about it, I'm one who always likes to find solutions and be a part of solutions. And so I called Charlotte because I wanted us to do this joint live and really just break down how you can then take the things that you are hearing and learning in these Christian spaces and qualify them, test them, and use the word above all as your measuring stick, because God will never say anything or tell you anything that goes against His word. But again, a lot of times we don't know how to search scripture in order to make sure that we're qualifying things the right way. So that's why we wanted to do this live, and it was amazing. I mean, we were on there way longer than I thought we would be, but we covered so much ground, and I want to bring that conversation here to the podcast. I'm not going to post the full thing because it was long, but if you want to tune into the full thing, it's available still on my YouTube channel, and I'll make sure I put the link to that in the show notes. So without further ado, check out this live stream. We're going to call it How to Build Your Spiritual Discernment. All right. What's up, everybody? Good morning. Happy Monday. Thank you for tuning in with us. Thank you for coming last minute, because it was just an impromptu thing. I had some time freed up, and I've had this on the list to talk about for a minute, and I definitely wanted to get it out the way. So for those who do not know me, nice to meet you. My name is Tatum Tamira. I am the host of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and the CEO of Anchored Media and Anchored Media Studios. For those of you who are in Maryland, if you are looking from somewhere to work, record content, come check us out at Anchored Media Studios in Laurel. And Charlotte, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Dr. Charlotte. I do a lot of stuff, but most importantly, I am the host of the Prescription for Purpose podcast and one of the hosts of the society. So if y'all are looking for community, or they say in this community, because I don't know why we do everything crewing. Okay. If you're looking for community, come on over to the society. We have some amazing stuff going on. All of our society girlies, let us know in the comments, because it's the time. It's time.
Amen. All right. So the reason why we called you all here. So I wanted to do this live with Charlotte. Charlotte and I do a prayer call every day, so we talk about this stuff all the time. But something that has really been bothering me lately is I feel like Christianity in this era, with the advancement of like TikTok and social media and all of that, it's become like an aesthetic and not a lifestyle. And I believe that a lot of us are buying the cute stuff, the cute pens, the cute Bibles. We have our cute little prayer corners with the cute little sticky notes and the cute devotionals, the cute.
But when it comes to actually living this life out, when it comes to truly sitting with the word, to be able to digest it, to understand it so that we can apply it, there's a gap there. And Charlotte and I talk about the Bible often. We talk about a lot, even as we talk about things that God may give us in like dreams or maybe prophetic words that we see and all of that. I just see such a opportunity that the enemy has taken advantage of. And that opportunity or that gap is, I'm going to say, biblical literacy. And so many times we get enamored by people's gifts and people build these platforms because of their gifts, but the people are not fully equipped to be able to test the spirit, to be able to qualify the word. So as long as somebody gives you text, and then on the surface level, it seems as if that's what they're saying is adding up, we don't further investigate. And I don't like that. I think that a big part of that too is I feel like in church, historically, we have been grown, in Black churches in particular, not to ask questions. And God wants us to have a level of childlike curiosity. And I believe that we need a lot more of that. And by embodying that childlike curiosity, it'll take us back to the word. It'll make us investigate it and read and study and all of those things. So no, Justice, you are not too late. We're just starting. So I wanted to do this live with Charlotte because I wanted to talk about that process of how do we go from hearing a message? Let's say you heard a message and it's a particular scripture. It just hit, right? It's just something about that just sat right with you. Or let's say you see this same scripture over and over again. We know that God uses repetition to speak to us a lot of times to let us know that he's there. Sometimes you just, your heart is just, it's just something. We know it's the Holy Spirit, but we don't say it's enough, right? That you feel and you're like, man, it's something about that. How do you go from that? Or let's say you get a dream, you have a download or somebody prophesies something to you. How do you go from receiving information to then discerning and qualifying that information and then being able to process that information so you can apply that information? Tell me in the chat if I make it sense. Because I see how it gets all jumbled up. And the reason why I believe the enemy is effective in this and keeping us from the word and keeping us following people and not Christ and keeping us from and being confused is because our curiosity gets perverted and put in it, our curiosity gets perverted and then that produces confusion as opposed to our curiosity sending us to the text. And so that's what we're here to talk about today is the how. If y'all been following me, y'all know I don't like to just be talking about stuff without giving a real solutions. And so my goal and our goal for us to just kind of in real time break down and walk through how do I hear something and then investigate it so that I can effectively process it so that I'm open to the Lord revealing and then applying it. So Charlotte, you want to start in when I was talking to her about this, she wanted us to start in Acts. So where did you say?
I said Acts 17, but I want to qualify even what we're doing. So real quick, I'm just going to throw this up on the screen. 1 John 4 verses 1 through 2, which is where we are getting our kind of premise for this. Because a lot of times, like Tatum said, we're not told that we should be testing the spirit by the spirit. And a lot of us don't understand what that means, or you've heard it and you haven't taken the time to go and see what that means. And so essentially what Paul is saying is like, or John rather, sorry, what John is saying is like, don't just believe everybody who says that, oh, thus saith the Lord. Okay. Right? Because there are a lot of spirits. So we want to make sure that we are testing the spirit by the spirit of God. And this word test, when you look at it and you study it, it means that you are able to try something to show that it's acceptable or that it is real or that it is genuine. Because how many of us know there's a lot of church lingo that we can get caught up in. There's a lot of things that we can get caught up in. Particularly, I always say that the issue is that we get caught up in the gift and we're not examining fruit. So because somebody can articulate themselves well, or because they are funny, or because they are charming, we get caught up in that because they're using scripture and we're not taking then what they're saying and qualifying it by the Spirit of God. And so we find ourselves spiritually entertained, but not spiritually edified. And that's the issue. And so we want to make sure that even as we talk about what we're doing, we are teaching y'all what the word says, right? So we're telling y'all, like, look, you should be qualifying these words. We're not just saying that, but we're telling you, like, no, it's in the Bible. It's in the instruction manual. And so the scripture that I want us to look at outside of 1 John is in Acts 17. I'm going to throw it up on the screen for us too.
If y'all have your Bibles, open them. Bring them out.
Bring them out. Bring them out.
I didn't know you were going to open this morning. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Bring them out. Bring them out. And we're looking at Acts 17. Verses 10 through 12, as my pastor say, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be on your screens for you, okay? So, we're looking at Acts 17, verses...
This for those who don't know.
This is Bible Gateway, and I love Bible Gateway because you can do different like parallels. I actually am dropping a video this week with all my tools and resources in the walkthroughs on my YouTube channel. So I'm very excited. But this is Bible Gateway. I love Bible Gateway because you can compare different scripture translations side by side. I want us to look at the NLT. And so that's what I have here. I'm going to get rid of the NASB. But I want us to look at verses 10 through 12. I'm going to give y'all a little rundown. Long story short, Paul and Silas, they were going to Thessalonica, Berea, in Athens to give the word, right? The people in Thessalonica, they being messy, starting mess. They had to run up out of there because they were really trying to get them locked up. And then we see them in verses 10 at the church of Berea. And I think that a lot of times we miss this piece. And so I'm going to pick up reading here. It says that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea because the people in the city, they was causing turmoil. It was a lot. They had to run them up out of Thessalonica. So they go to Berea. It says when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many prominent Greek women and men. The part here is verse 11. We know who Paul is. Right? They were excited. This is Big Paul, not Saul. He's not killing Christians no more. He didn't met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He's doing all of these things. And even though it was Paul, they heard him. They were eager to hear the message. They took notes. And then after the fact, they searched the scriptures to ensure that what was being said was in fact true. And so we need to learn from the church in Berea. We had to understand that a lot of times we are not qualifying what these people are saying, or just because somebody has a platform, just because somebody has a license, just because they were cool about a week ago, it does not mean that you are off your post of making sure that you're testing the spirit by the Spirit of God. And so a lot of times we're frustrated with the state of the church, feeling like people are getting over on us, church hurt. And yes, those people are going to be dealt with expeditiously by the Lord. And also, there's a role that we have to play. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to be able to deceive me when I'm in the book for myself. Mm-hmm. It's only so far you're going to get before I'm like, no, because I searched the scripture and that's not what it said. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be able to remove yourself from danger. But a lot of us don't like to do our homework. We want to go get fed, be excited. We want to rah, rah, rah. And then we don't go back and search the scriptures. And so we're not allowing God to, one, really reveal to us what that word means for us. And two, not making sure that what we're saying or what we're understanding or meditating on or what we're accepting as truth is actually true.
Yeah. I did a podcast episode a couple weeks ago where I talked about qualifying wise counsel. And I, when talking about qualifying wise counsel, I gave like different things to consider. It was important for me to emphasize you need to qualify wise counsel in two ways. You need to qualify the individual, for one. Are they living righteously? Is what they're saying biblical? Like, are they a person of integrity? So you qualify the individual first. Then you need to also qualify what they say. Because a person can be wise as an individual, what they're saying can be an error. You can't just assume what they're saying is of God because you have discerned that they're a good person or God uses them or whatever. We can't be lax with this stuff. And so many people are deceived because they're not taking this step. You know, people could have been looking at Judas and being like, well, he rolled with Jesus, so surely he must be cool. You know, so we have to, it's serious. You know what I mean? It's so serious. And we have to be diligent of searching the scripture. And I wanted to emphasize too, something that we talk about, Charlotte and I talk about often, is the different gifts of the body of Christ and really how we hold in the importance, or we put the importance on how all the gifts of the body are supposed to work together. So Charlotte has a teacher gift. She going to nerd out on this Bible every single time. I have a prophetic gift. God is going to show me things and I'll be able to discern things. And he's going to give me dreams and words and messages. And it's not enough for me to come on and say, okay, the Lord showed me this, or I had this dream and I just talk about it. I will be wrong. I have to go back to the text to qualify even what I'm hearing for myself, for one, and to be able to make sure that I'm accurate before I open my mouth and say anything to anybody else. And so something that we would do amongst each other all the time is I'll say, hey, the Lord gave me this dream. This is what I'm discerning, or God gave me this. Like, what do you think about that? So then she'll get to y'all see her now, right? She'll get to and be like, well, this reminds me of this scripture where this happened and da da da. And I'll be like, okay, cool. So then I'll go and I'll read that text and I'll be like, okay, God, I think that you're showing me something here. Like, what is this about? And then I'll start studying it. And so me having a relationship with somebody who has that gift is going to anchor me. Because as somebody who can operate in the prophetic, the Lord will have me, I can be out in the deep end of the mysteries, but the mysteries are always going to be anchored in the word. Yeah. And I can't get too big headed because God chose me to show me mysteries that I am not humble enough to get in this text. I'm not humble enough to call my sister in Christ to say, hey, the Lord showed me this, help me search the scriptures to make sure that what I'm saying is anchored in his written truth. So I wanted to do this live stream. We're probably going to do more of these now that we're talking, but I wanted to do this live stream with her in particular to show the relationship between someone who's prophetic and a teacher. And so one thing that I wanted to do, I didn't want to just talk about this. I wanted to break it down and show what that looks like practically. So the Lord gave me a message, and I did release this message, and I qualified it beforehand, where I sent an email out to my list, and I talked about it on the podcast, and I said how the Lord was showing me that we need to log off and lock in, where this is a season to where there's a lot of noise happening. You know, we are in, the world is just chaotic, but if we just narrow it down to the United States, it's a lot happening between race relations, between the election, between just so much. We've had so many prophecies and all types of things right now because of the way in which the World Wide Web is kind of like the Wild Wild West. We have access to so many different voices and perspectives and words, some true, some not. The Lord was just showing me how important it is for us to disconnect from that, to pull away. And I mean, just off baseline of me studying the word, I know that that's biblically accurate because of all the ways in which Jesus will pull away, right, from the crowds. But still, he says, okay, tell my people they need to log off and lock in. They need to get into the secret place. It's not time to engage in chatter. It's not time to overconsume. It's not time to take in and be pulled in emotionally to all of the things that's happening in the world. It's time to get to the secret place. Mm-hmm. So that's the word. So now, Sharla, and somebody hearing that and them reading my email, and they, how do they then go and qualify and test the spirit behind it?
So a couple of things. One, like you said, oh, that absolutely reminds me of Jesus pulling away, right? The thing that I hear.
Hold on, I'm going to pause right here. So I'm going to pause her for a second, because here's what I want you to understand. In order for that to spark a text, you have to know it. So the foundation of all, you can't test the spirit if you can't even discern when the Lord is talking to you. If you're not spending time in the text, studying it, not just to hear what God want to bless you with, not just to hear, you know, what he has for you, but to just study it as your instruction manual, but to just consume it as your bread. Like, you have to be doing this consistently so that when somebody does say, okay, this is the scripture will pop up, you'll be able to recollect it because you've already been in. So that is like the foundation of it all. Like, you have to be in your word. You have to spend time with the Lord. You have to be able to recall and internalize scripture so that it could come up. So my bad. Go ahead.
No. That's actually good. And as you were talking, it reminded me of a lesson that I did in the society. As we're talking about truth and testing the spirit, I want us to also to understand and qualify what truth is. There's a lot of language around, like, oh, girl, I'm just living in my truth. Listen to me, believers of God. Okay. John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So there is no my truth, your truth, Tatum's truth, Keith Lee's truth. No, Jesus is the truth. And so we have to make sure that we're all operating by the same truth. So that means that even if it doesn't make 100% sense to you, doesn't make it less true. Even if you don't agree with it, typically that's how you know it's the Lord, because our flesh is carnal. Like, our flesh is fleshing. But just because you don't agree doesn't make it any less true. God said what he said. Now, it's the time that we spend with the Lord and to reveal to us so we can start to digest that. But it doesn't make it less true. It doesn't... just because the majority of people don't believe it doesn't make it not true. Yeah, I remember when Cassie first came out and said the things, and the people was dragging her for filth, and it did not make it any less true. And then we had video evidence, right? So just because a crowd doesn't believe doesn't make it any less true. And so we need to make sure that we understand that the truth that we operate by is right here. Mm-hmm. This truth. This is the truth. Anything outside of that, anything that diverts from this is a lie. And this is one of those times where it is black and white. There is no gray. If it diverts from this here, it is a lie. Mm-hmm. Throw the whole thing away. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want us to make sure that just because it's not publicly proved, just because you haven't personally seen Jesus, don't mean that he don't exist. Mm-hmm. And so we have to get over even our own pride of thinking like, oh, I ain't gonna believe it till I see it. Okay, Thomas. And when we miss the revelation and we miss the actual truth, we find ourselves upset with the Lord. And he's like, girl, it's in the instruction manual. Mm-hmm. And I said this recently, that we treat this like a reference manual and not like an instruction manual. I need this for life, not just when I'm trying to get what I want. So my first thought is like, oh, that's good. That reminds me of Jesus pulling away, right? That reminds me of Jesus being like, you know what? We're leaving. I'm out. The crowds are coming. And so then what I would do is I would think of some words like, oh, okay, solitude. One of my great and favorite resources is called openbible.info. And I'm going to share my screen. So you go to openbible.info, click on the topical Bible, and I'm going to do solitude. And then all of these scriptures come up. In Luke 5:16, it talks about how Jesus would go away to pray. Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. He even encouraged his disciple to draw away to pray and rest for a while. So while logging off and locking in may seem like you're going to miss something, in a season where there's a lot of turmoil, where there's a lot of angst and anxiety being pushed across media, we can see that solitude is good for us. Like, oh, I need this so I can be rested. I need this so I can have clarity. So even just looking at these scriptures is like, oh, solitude is good, because solitude and isolation aren't the same. Right. So sometimes it is even just starting here and reading the scriptures to then find where you're going to go. But sometimes you may get a word. So to log off and log in, and I say, oh, okay, or lock in. And I say, oh, you know what? I don't even know what solitude means. Go on over to Miriam and them. Okay. Sometimes we make this way deeper than what it needs to be. I can go right on over to the dictionary and say, oh, okay. So if you're ever studying, or you get a word from somebody and you don't really know what the word means in totality, the dictionary, right? It means that it's a state of being alone or remote from society. Right now, we all agree society is wallet. And so we need to find our secret place. And so understanding what seclusion is, what it means to be secluded. I mean, you could be in here for a minute. Then you go over to the thesaurus so you can see what other words are similar to that. Oh, to be sheltered. Now, come on, because those who find themselves in the shelter of the Most High. Now I'm really starting to be able to immerse myself like, okay, God, I see what you're saying. Oh, I need to be in a quiet place. I need to be in a hidden place. I need to be in a place that's private where I'm able to hear from the Lord. I need to be in my secret place. And now I can go back to Open Bible and look at the scriptures that really relate to what God has already said. We haven't even started studying, but just even on the surface level, we're able to qualify like, okay, this is definitely in alignment with the word. Now I need to start digging from here. Now I need to start studying solitude. Now I need to start looking at these different scriptures. So even qualifying it isn't that hard. It gets easier, as Tatum said, once you start spending time in the word. So I'm like, oh yeah, Jesus used to pull away all the time. And understand too that when you look here, you see that he went to desolate places. So all these people got you out here hitting the wilderness, but that's not always bad. It's not always bad to be in the wilderness. We have to start having an appreciation for what God is doing. The wilderness in Exodus was only bad because it got prolonged, because they weren't learning the lessons while they were there. Mm-hmm. They came out of Egypt. So that means that they had mentalities, lifestyles, traditions, things that they had accumulated. Because wasn't it like 400 years? Right? It was like 400 years. Yeah.
Of slavery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for Egypt and African Americans. Now, I ain't saying this prophetic. I'm just saying 400 years on both sides. So they're coming. They've been somewhere for 400 years. And you can't tell me that there weren't some things that kind of seeped into their lifestyle, the way that they lived, that was not of God. And so he takes them to the wilderness. Before we go into the promised land, we got to shed some of this. We weren't in there 5 minutes. And you like, take me back to Egypt where I was a slave. All right. Right. A lot of us, the wilderness is where God has to go to prepare us. And if we keep reading our word and we go over to Matthew 4, we see that Jesus gets baptized. God's like, oh, I love this man real bad. This is my son, Dove. Right? Like you have this whole experience. And then it says the Holy Spirit then leads Jesus into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
We get so caught up on how prosperity preaching has been like, oh, you must be in a wilderness season. What did you do? Chill. I'm in a wilderness season. That means God is preparing me for the next, because it wasn't until Jesus came out of the wilderness that he was tested, that he was proven, that God allowed him. He fought with the devil, and like, I don't know why little Lucy didn't think that he wasn't going to lose ultimately, because he lost in that match too. Right. And see Jesus get tempted with fame, with fulfilling his flesh. You hungry? Here, eat. Like, we see all of these temptations, and we can learn so much from that and understand the different things that can happen in the secret place, that we won't be so averse and put off by someone saying, hey, you need to go to a desolate place. Hey, you need to go to a place that's quiet. Hey, you need to find yourself in the secret place, because it's been the propaganda is that if you're in the wilderness, you did something wrong. But God put his stamp of approval on Jesus and then sent him to the wilderness.
I have something to say. I'm going to make a note for us to come back, though. But because we're talking about the wilderness, I think that just initial thought, I think that there's something to the fact that, so we said the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. The enemy tempted him there. When the enemy was tempting Jesus, he used, he was trying to capitalize off of his vulnerabilities in that moment, and was using, he was manipulating scripture in order to get Jesus to fall.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about how our vulnerability, like I think there's something that we have to be mindful of. When we are in these vulnerable seasons, whatever vulnerability looks like for you, maybe you're waiting for the Lord to come through with some type of way. Maybe life is just life, and you know, whatever is making you vulnerable. Excuse me. I believe in those seasons, we have to be that much more guarded. Like, we should have some type of personal rule to where it's like, okay, I'm vulnerable right now. I'm not listening to no prophecies or lie. It's just going to be me, the Holy Spirit, and this Bible. I'm vulnerable right now. I'm not even, like, I can't listen to nothing but the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because in that vulnerability, I feel like the temptation is to have itching ears. The temptation is to hear something that sounds good, but we don't do our due diligence because we want to believe it. And this part of the problem is we want to believe it. We want to believe that next week all of our bills are going to be paid. We don't want to believe that God just has us here for a reason that we simply don't understand and probably won't know until it's over. We don't want to just sit in that, but that's could be the reality, right? So we have to make sure that we are even that much more vigilant and sober when we're vulnerable. I think that just needs to be a general rule that we all have about life is, okay, I'm in the wilderness, I'm vulnerable, I'm shutting down. Yeah. Until I get out, I'm shutting down. That's not to say, don't misconstrue what I'm saying to say that, you know, it means that you got to go away from people. We all have people that, there's some seasons where it's just you and God, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. But there are relationships, and I've even seen this in my own life, where my vulnerability is safe with certain people. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going through something, I'm shutting everybody else out, but the wise counsel that the Lord has placed in my life, I'm not shutting them out because God has placed them there. And there have been seasons where I didn't have that, and it was just me and the Lord. But there are seasons like now where I can call Charlotte and be like, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I'm noticing about my flesh that I don't like. Like, let's pray about this or whatever. Like, we can talk about those things, those real things that I can't talk to with anybody else, because they may manipulate it. They may appeal to my flesh. They may dangle something that's attractive to me. So I have to protect myself from that and from opportunities that the enemy can manipulate my vulnerabilities. And so I wanted to just make that point, because most of this life is regulating ourselves to stay before the Lord, really.
Yeah.
And so I think that needs to be a rule that we all have of like, okay, I'm vulnerable. Let me shut down and lock.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think too, you know, I'll piggyback off what you're saying is like, don't misunderstand solitude for isolation, because isolation is a place where you can get caught up. Right. If we're isolated for too long, you will find yourself sometimes in a fight for your life. Right. Because now there's nobody there to be like, hey, I know you're going through, but come here real quick, because like there have been times on prayer call where I'm like going on a tangent and going down a rabbit hole. And it's the same rabbit hole that my brain goes down when she's all by herself. And Tatum goes, OK, that's enough. Like, I hear you. I'm so glad you're being open. Stop. Don't even allow your brain to do that. And so when you look at Jesus, who is our, you know, our model, our role model, there are, you know, he had, what does Serena always say? Jesus sat with sinners, but he hung with disciples, right? Like, I can be in relationship. I can be acquainted, acclimated with people who don't believe the same things that I do. I have relationships with people who don't believe the same things that I do. We should, because then how are you going to minister to them if you're not in a relationship? That's a different conversation. But then people who are closer to you, people who have influence over your life, people who get to see some of those more intimate things, those are disciples. But then when you look at two incidents in particular, one, the Mountain of Transfiguration, and two, the Garden of Gethsemane. It was only three people there.
Where are those in scripture so we could put it in the chat?
Garden of Gethsemane. So the Garden of Gethsemane is in Matthew 26, 36 through 56. And the Mountain of Transfiguration is in Matthew 17. And when you look at both of these, what you'll notice is it's Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter, James, and John also fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is like, y'all can't even stay up to pray with me. Sometimes it'd be like that, okay? But just know that you got people that you could call, right? There are some people that are in those intimate spaces. So there may be something that I'm dealing with personally, and yet it's me and the Lord, but I know if I get the trip in, I could call Tatum. And I don't have to explain the depths of what's going on, because she's close enough and intimate enough with me to understand me, the circumstance, and most things going on. So she's going to get to see there. Those three people were able to see Jesus when he was pressed, stressed, and when he was literally on the mountaintop and Elijah and Moses pop up. Peter's like, I'm going to make a tent. Who asked you to do that? Right? Peter always doing something extra. But we are encouraged to be in a place of solitude, but also make sure that you know that you have people locked in place, because there are some things that you are not going to be able to handle by yourself. And so even qualifying those relationships, because I need somebody who is going to be real enough with me to meet me at my humanity, and then real enough with me to know the standard that God has called me to live to. Mm-hmm. Tatum is that person. My pastoral care team at church, they are those people. So I could come to them and be crying and be mad, and they know that my humanity doesn't mean that I'm not still saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and called. It's just me being in my humanity and me saying, look, I need a place where I can unload why I'm mad and explain to you how I'm feeling, so we can put some language on this and then we can pray about it. Mm-hmm. So don't take this as you have to fight this battle all by yourself. Community is a key recipe that we miss out on, because the first thing that God said was not good was for you to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the first. God was like, oh, this is good. That's good. The water. That man be by himself? No.
Yeah.
Nah.
That'll
preach in so many scenarios, but yeah, it's not good for you to be by yourself. What was Adam doing when God said, you know what, go to bed real quick, and when you wake up and when you wake up, help is on the way. But it's not good for us to be by ourselves, because there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that even talks about the dangers of being by yourself. There's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about somebody like, you can be by yourself and then you will make what you believe an idol and can't nobody check you. That can get interesting. So I have, even me, I know that I'm gifted as a teacher, but Tatum will tell you, if I'm studying something before I release it, I'm hitting her up and like, hey, I'm walking through this. What, like, are there any nuances that I'm not seeing? Does this make sense? Right? Because we have to understand that all of us are wrapped in flesh. So we all have the propensity to fall, even if it isn't on purpose. So the word, it doesn't even have to be that the person is a false prophet. There's somebody who was believing something for me, and they wanted it. So they wanted it so bad for me. And I love that. I love that about them. And also they said something to me that was opposite of what God had already showed me. And so I said, oh, okay, right? And it wasn't that they were trying to be false or plant seeds. They just felt really passionate about, you know, like, let's say I'm getting a puppy. If I know that you really want a puppy and I'm your friend, I'm like, oh, girl, it's going to be a Rottweiler, the one you want, and somebody's going to give it for free. And if God has already said to me, like, girl, you can't have no dog right now because you barely taking care of yourself, I have to be in connection with him. And I know that you're saying that to me not to be false, but because you love me and you know that that is a desire of mine, you want it for me. Mm-hmm. Those words we have to qualify by what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, I want the puppy, but if God says that it's not time, I have to have enough relationship with him to know, like, nah, he actually told me I couldn't do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand that it's not always that they come looking like the big bad wolf. Sometimes people are just, we're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're gifted, but we're human beings. And so sometimes I may miss the mark. And so you have to be locked in enough with your relationship with God and in your Bible. I'm going to keep bringing y'all back to this. In your Bible enough to say, you know what? Actually, I love that you want that for me. And in due season, we're going to name that puppy. But that season ain't right now.
Mm-hmm.
And have enough maturity to understand that too. Because we get caught up in the, oh, next week your bill's going to be paid and throwing out. Like, if God says it's not, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the garden, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be submitted to that point. And we have to have people that are in our corner that can pray with us, but then also be wise enough to know that, like, sometimes you just love me real bad. My granny, she want everything for me. My granny want everything that I've ever dreamed of happening in my life. My grandma wants that for me. She's a good, good granny. And also that may not all be a part of God's plan. And I have to be mature enough to know that both could be true. My grandma want that for me. And God said no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at things like Luke 5:16, right, where it talks about how Jesus went away to a desolate place. One thing that has changed the game for me has been learning how to study the word and its original text. For those who don't know, Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. New Testament was written in Greek. There are going to be times where there's something that has been translated in English. And because the English language is a bunch of languages that we stole and put together, and the words don't translate the same. So there's like 4 or 5 different words that mean love in the Greek. And you need to be able to look at the Greek to understand, because they really actually do make a difference. So looking at Luke 5:15-16 says, but now even more, the report about him went abroad. The great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. He is Jesus. So his platform growing, and he's like, actually, I'm a slide out. So go over to Bible Hub, which is one of my favorite resources. So I literally just came to Bible Hub. I'm going to type in Luke 5:16. It's going to show you everything here, right? You're going to get the verse in all the different translations. It's going to tell you all of these things, everything you want to know about the scripture. But I'm going to go over here to where it says Greek. You're going to have the word in English, and then you're going to have it in Greek. And so I want us to look at, okay, what does it mean to withdraw? And you could write on your Strong's, which is the concordance, and it's going to show you where this word, because I speak a little Spanish, but I do not speak Greek. Anyway, I'm like, yo, I don't speak un poquito. This, no. But you click on the concordance, and it will tell you, hey, this is what this word means. It's a verb. That means that there's some action that you're going to have to take. You're going to have to be intentional, like logging off of TikTok. This isn't passive. Verbs are things that you do. And then you're able to look at these different words. So what does this mean? It means I have room for. So let me go back. The word origin is from these two words, hupo and choreo, which sounds like choreography. And sometimes I'm right. So for hupo, it just means to be under, particularly under the authority of someone, like under authority. So someone acting directly as a subordinate. So when I withdraw, That means that I'm actually doing, I'm finding myself, I'm submitting myself to the leadership of God, the leadership of Christ. And then choreo, to make room. I have room for, to receive, to contain. Again, it's a verb, to make room, to advance, to hold, to make space, to live with an open heart, with available space that embraces the more important, not just the urgent. Mm. So now when we talk about how Jesus would withdraw, he withdrew even though he had crowds, right? Even though he had people lining up, even though the platform was growing, he withdrew because he's like, let me go submit myself back to the most important relationship in my life, which is the power of God, because that's where I get all my source and my power from.
Shauna, I'm going to pause you right there. Tell us in the chat if this is making sense. Because I want to make sure that you understand. Because when you understand, you can apply. Are y'all seeing the correlation of, okay, I heard this, I'm exploring this, and in my exploration, it's allowing me to process what God is actually saying. Is this process making sense? I know we went on our little pockets, so I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Yes, awesome.
I'll pocket real quick.
Mm-hmm. Good. We're going to move with the spirit, but we're going to definitely make sure we still come back and sure everybody's on the same page. Awesome. Perfect. Okay.
And then praise God.
So we understand that, okay, Jesus withdrew. So now logging off, oh, my business, because these are some of the objections that we hear, right? Tatum, what are some of the objections that you hear when you tell people, like, get offline?
How am I going to be able to promote my business? The top one.
Yes. Like, because this is a verb, that means you got to do something. Figure it out. Right? We have too many resources on Keith Lee's internet. Too many scheduling tools. Too many things that are available for us to allow things that God blessed us with to become burdens and become excuses for our disobedience. Like, oh, I can't because I got to post online. God will shut this whole internet down. Do what he said. Mm-hmm. There would be no platform if it was without him. So I'm going to make the accommodation to do what God called me to do. So that means that I have to pay $29.99 so I can get whatever scheduling service and I manage my business that way. Then that's what I'll do because he told me to log off. He told me that I need to be creating more than I'm consuming. And so a lot of times, a lot of that disconnect from the instruction is because there's something on the inside of us that don't want to do it.
And I think we should explore that more. Like on the podcast, we're reading through Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. And so earlier on in the book, she talked a lot about like the importance, you got to think about what you're thinking about. And I think that we always have to, that's just such a good point to keep in mind. And also we have to have an element of self-awareness because one of my favorite scriptures in Galatians talks about how the spirit and the flesh are at war so that we are not to do what we want. So we have this internal regulation system that alerts us to where we are no longer operating in the spirit of the Lord. And so if you hear this word and you say, okay, it's time to log off. You qualify it. So you go on online and you see any scriptures and you're looking up the Greek and all of that. And you see, okay, God, I see the importance of this. However, I feel like my business, though, is going to suffer if I do this. So then you have to sit within yourself. Why is your bigot business, success or lack thereof, so big that you are willing to disobey God for it? We have to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that I don't trust God enough? Like there should be an automatic of like, I want to be on here posting my business, but you told me to get off. So I guess you're going to figure it out. Like we got to get to that point. I feel like that as you grow and you mature, you get to that point. Because for me, God would be like, cut it all off. All right. Like, whatever. Like, at this point, I done seen you do enough. You ain't got to do nothing else for me. It's fine. Whatever. And it depends, you know, because there's some things that I might still wrestle with that it might be a bit harder. And I got to be self-aware and psychoanalyze myself for a moment. But I think that we all need to sit with that. These objections that we have, that's the spirit letting me know, okay, my flesh is getting in the way. Let's analyze that so that I could crucify. Because I'm analyzing it not so that I could finesse my way into doing what I want, but I'm analyzing it so that I can crucify my flesh and get into alignment with the Lord. I'm paying attention to what my responses are revealing about my heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. Our responses reveal conditions of our hearts that we need to submit to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times we don't explore even ourselves enough. We be quick to do all of this for whatever somebody else say, but we don't explore our own responses enough so that we know what we need to fast and pray about. So we'll, you know, shop and have conversations like, man, this keep coming up. Like, I thought I was over this, but this situation is revealing that there's something in me that is still not fully submitted. Like, I think we need to fast, Lord. Let's pray about this or whatever. Like, we have to analyze even our own responses to things. Once you realize that this, and you've qualified and assessed that this is of the Lord, if you still have objections, now it's time to do a deep dive into that.
Yeah. And I think too, I want to add that we have to make room for our humanity. And as God reveals things, what I've learned to do is, instead of me feeling like condemned, instead of me feeling guilt or shame, I'm learning like, man, God, you over here eating me up. But I say that in a way that's like jovial, because I'm like, I know that that means that you are making me look more like you. It don't always feel good when it's like, oh man, I thought I had trusted you, but I really don't. Right? I really don't, God. He's not condemning us. He's going, hey, look in the mirror. You got something right here. Let's go and get that off so you can look more like me. And so even us taking the time to, in the space to do that, understand that as God reveals, because the Bible says that he disciplines those whom he loves. So discipline being like, hey, I need you to tighten up in this area, Charlotte. You spend a lot of time consuming content on TikTok, but you still ain't started making them YouTube videos like I asked you to do. And so I want you to stop consuming and start creating. Every time, Charlotte, you have an urge to consume, I want you to create instead. And I was like, wow, you are correct, right? My delayed obedience was still disobedience. If y'all been following me for any length of time, for a good 15 months, I'm like, I'm going to do video. I'm not. Not because I wanted to be, quote unquote, willfully in rebellion, even though there's a funny story about that. But yeah, but really, it was because that requires a level of vulnerability for me. There were some things that I was insecure about. And what I had to realize was, one, I was making my insecurities an idol, right? Anything that can drive you to do the opposite of what the Lord is saying, we have to just understand that it's sitting higher on our heart than what God is. My biggest fear needs to be me disappointing the Lord. The only thing I really am like, ooh, I don't want to do that at all. Me disappointing the Lord has to be the top one. After that, then birds and flocks, I don't like them. And then the other things that you don't care for can come after that. But we have to make sure that our love for God's approval has to be higher than our love for the approval of people, our own approval for things, because there's been things that God has called me to do that I don't like and I don't want to do. So when we say that we give it our life to him, that's what that means. That means your preferences, what you understand, all of that. So even testing the spirit by the spirit even means, like, what spirit am I operating in? Is it my flesh? Am I quenching the Holy Spirit? Am I really listening? Or am I talking myself into disobedience and then trying to use the words for myself, right? And that's why you need, though, you know, your big three, where you can say, hey, this is what God is calling me to do. And here are my objections, right? Because Ethan, like I told Tatum, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start making the video. And I was like, but also what I'm going to do instead, and Tatum said, if you add one more thing to the list before you're obedient, I'm catching a flight. Because at this point, right, at this point, but a lot of times it's those things that are intimate. And God cares about those too, right? Right now, I'm getting my psych certification. So a lot of this stuff is like your feelings. Our feelings matter to the Lord. We just can't be ruled by them. Why are you afraid? What do you feel like you're going to lose that God won't give back to you? Because that's really the root of fear. Is like, I'm going to lose something. What is it? For me, it was like my peace. Yeah, Tatum will pull up on me. But see, here's the thing. This is how this works. I've given her the space and the authority to do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't want to do that. Tatum can absolutely, get over yourself, right? And I know, and I'm not offended. I know that she's doing it in love. And I know that she's doing it not only for the love of me, but for the love of the Lord. I know that if she really feeling it, it's going to be some passion behind it. I love that. I love that about her. So the devil got us messed up. Exactly. Exactly. And so we have to make sure that we have people in our life who can pull up on us. Because the sins that you sink in the deepest are those things that it's just me and the Lord. No, friend, you need somebody to come and be like, hey, what you doing on that website? You ain't got no business. What you doing at that man house, friend? My one friend, I just sent her to text the eyeball emojis because what is she doing? I don't even have to say nothing. What are you doing? Right? But we have to give people in our lives that we can love and trust the authority to do that, because there'll be times where then God will drop something in your spirit. I have a friend of mine. She is like me, type A. She just had surgery. And I was sitting here doing my homework and God said, your friend is doing too much. I need you to pull up via text. And I text her. And I said, Holy Spirit told me that you're doing a lot. Please don't make me pull up to Savannah. She said, oh, not Holy Spirit telling my business. Sit down. Right? So it's in love, but God will protect us from ourselves with the people that he puts around us, with the voices that he qualifies to be in our ears. The issue is that a lot of us don't get to the place where we could test the Spirit by the Spirit. A lot of us don't get to the place where we can do all the things that Tatum is talking about, because we don't want to be quiet enough to sit down and really get with ourselves. That's uncomfortable. You would rather watch 15 videos on narcissism. You would rather, hear what all these other people have to say instead of sitting with and being like, man, you know what, God? I'm surrounded by all these people, but I'm actually really lonely. You know what, God? I don't trust you because I'm afraid, because the way that I grew up, my parents were very hypercritical of me. And so I'm afraid to do what you said, because if I mess up, I don't want you to be disproving of me. We don't want to have those conversations with ourselves and the Lord. And so then there's no authenticity, because there's no transformation where God can go, yeah, girl, I'm not them. I'm the perfect parent, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this qualifies and you being able to test the Spirit by the Spirit. You have to know the word first. You have to know it. You have to even know the character of God. Right? Like me and my grandma, I was bantering with her, but my grandma is old school. So the minute like thunder and lightning hit, like she's like, get off the phone. And I was at work and I'm like, girl, no, because you the reason why I'm scared to get in the shower when it's thunder and lightning outside. And so we're having this conversation. And she was like, my grandma believes this like wholeheartedly, like, yeah, no, because you don't want to play with the Lord. I said, give me one scripture. Give me one scripture where it's like, oh, you and you struck my lightning because you in the shower. grandma. I said, that
doesn't from back into the day.
It doesn't even make sense from the character guy. You think God's gonna be like, oh, you got in the shower while it's lightning? Zap. Bet you gonna be nothing in the storm. Okay, it's a hurricane outside right now, and you're gonna be messy. That doesn't even add up with the character of God, right? Like we have to be for real and know God's character more than anything. Know His heart. A lot of us are receiving words from people, and these people are mean and they're nasty, and it's giving slave mentality. We like to be talked down to, and we like to be like almost cussed out. Just about these people are yelling, screaming at you. Tell you, are you going to hell? First of all, there's no condemnation in Christ. Not listening to you. I don't care how much authority you think they have or power or whatever. That's not that. In Luke 2:52, after Jesus got off punishment for 18 years because he was at the temple for 3 days and should have been on his way home, it said that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with the Lord and with people. Meaning that you have to be like relational, kind. The Bible says to get the truth in love. So if people are yelling and screaming, that's different than passion, different than authority. The truth is going to hurt a little bit. People are going to step on your toes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these voices that are getting elevated because they just yell.
Mm-hmm. I want to address one of the comments. HT was saying, like, what you said is key. I've seen God do enough in terms of trusting Him due to previous success. All you can put on the screen is what's up. Some of us haven't, so we have to learn how to trust when we haven't had certain levels of success. That makes me think about, I was actually reading this for the podcast where I was in John 6:60,
mm-hmm.
and where the disciples deserted Jesus. And so even before that, they was talking about like, He had just fed. He just split the fish. They just had the fish fry. He just walked on water. And so they like, oh, we tried. So you really the Son of God? So show us a miracle. Like, bro, He just did all these miracles. Now you asking for more stuff in order for you to believe that He is who he says He is. But it reminds me of that because, sure, for me in business, I've achieved levels of success. That's not why I believe God, to believe God now, or why I trust Him. I trusted Him when I was all it was me and this book and me and my prayer journals. Last week I looked at some of my prayer journals from 2018, and I wrote down like Anchor Media. I wrote down helping podcasters, all of these things that I'm writing down. I have no clue what they're going to materialize to. I have no clue if they're going to be successful. I have no clue what they are. I just wrote down what the Lord said, and day by day through prayer and fasting and spending time with Him and doing what He said and repeating, pray, obey, study the word. As this cycle processes, then I can look up and be like, oh, Anchor Media is on the door of this building. Oh, I'm able to help all these people. Oh, my business is successful financially. It's a lot of money that's came from this. Like all of that is rejoice worthy, but I'm not obedient because of it. I'm obedient because of it. I trust God because of this. Because if I trusted God because of the success, that means I have to keep being successful to trust God. If it all went away, I'm still going to trust God, not because of what He's doing in my life now, but because of this. Because when I die, I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. Because just some regular girl, I'm trying not to get emotional. I don't like to cry on camera. But because some regular chick from PG County, Maryland, God loved me enough in all the trauma that I've been through, in all the ways that I've rebelled, in all the ways that I have been angry and anxious and upset and all of these different things, that He loved me so much that He kept me, that He has seen me, that He's healed my heart, that He's built me up, that He's remolded me back to who He saw before He formed me in my mother's womb, that He continues to love on me and pour into me, not the external things, but it's because I first believe this. And because I chose to believe this, and I continue to choose to believe this, and I continue to trust that God is who he says he is, that's why it's easy. That's why he could tell me to do anything. So for you, any of you guys, just sit with that for a moment. Like, all of this rebellion and this back and forth that we have with the Lord, why is this not enough? Why not? Straight up, why not? And I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad, but this is a question that we all have to ask ourselves because it keeps us straight. Why is this not enough? Why does he keep after performing miracles? We got this joint thick. It's a lot of, and this is the regular print, the large print bigger. This thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you could go outside and go for a walk and trust God. Because where did this come from? Why is the, like, look at these clouds, look at these trees, look at the grass, look at all of the beauty and the wonder of the creations of the Lord. Look in the mirror and look at your features. Look at the how many locks of hair you have on your head, and he know all of them.
Like, even the ones you bought.
What'd you say?
Even the ones I paid for. Did
you? True. But, I have to emphasize that because that's what matters. And entrepreneurship and in this online world and all of this stuff that we learn and we want to achieve and we want to grow and all of these things that God tells us and we wrestle with and all of that. Like, one of the things that I love to do, and this helps just keep me, the main thing. I look at, what's the name of that channel? De La Faith. I think that's Spanish for the faith, but it's like a testimonial channel. A lot of times I just watch those videos. And it ain't got nothing to do with business. They're not trying to sell nobody or nothing. They're not trying to preach anything. It's just people telling their stories. Mm-hmm. And it always amazes me to hear how people, where they were when they encountered the Lord and what they did after that and the ways in which the enemy tried to kill them and how God showed up. And I just think about stuff like that. I like to watch things like that and just think about my own life, not in what he's allowed me to accumulate, but who he has created me to be, how he's molded me. I love Tatum. I love the fact that I am a godly person, a good person, but also a godly person. I love the fact that my friends and family think highly of me because of my character, not because of anything I did, not because of no self-help book, but because God loved me enough that he saw me, he saved me, and he continues to prune me and work on me. I love that. I could have never dreamt of who God has allowed me to become today. Again, not external stuff, but in my heart and in my character and in my submission to him. In my willingness to keep being refined. I'm grateful that I love and revere God enough to where anytime my flesh gets in the way, I'm not complaining about it. I'm going back to him. I'm humble and vulnerable enough to say, God, this situation revealed this about me. And I know this doesn't look like you. So can you help me deal with it? Because I just want to do right by you. Because you've done so much by me, by saving me.
Mm-hmm.
You've helped me and used me to save the souls of people. Forget the stuff. You have used me to help me save the souls of people. There are people who are going to spend eternity with you because of what you've allowed me to build. There are families who are not going to have to deal with poverty anymore because of what you've allowed me to build. There are people whose children are going to know you because of how you've used me. What success? What is that compared to what the Lord has done? Take it all away. Put the account on zero. I will do it all again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to address that because I want us all to have that heart. Yeah. And when you have that heart, you won't deal with a lot of the trivial things that we deal with. You won't be talking about how to trust God in the next 5 years. You're just going to decide to. at some point it's going to click and you're just going to decide to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop it right there. Y'all was tearing up everything at this part. I just cannot think about the goodness of the Lord without getting emotional, because his love and thinking about his love, it's just so overwhelming to me. But nevertheless, I pray that this blessed you. We covered so much more ground, so check it out in its totality on YouTube. We did a lot of screen sharing and everything, so I want you guys to just get the totality of the message because, again, it was just good. Share it with a friend if this blessed you. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.